God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think I can tell already I'm not going to get through all my notes, and that's okay. Because I sit down to write a message, and then it's like I get into it, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and then when I'm done, it's like, I don't know if I can even get that out in the right amount of time. So, but I am the pastor here, and so I do have next week. I don't have next week. Are you preaching next week? Oh, I have 2 weeks from now. And Heather's going to be bringing a great message next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. All right, so last week was Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and we talked about this concept of righteousness, right? And we called the message the Great Exchange, because what we do when we come to Christ, we're exchanging our sin for His righteousness. And so let's pick it up right there in that scripture. It says, "For God made Christ..." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God in Christ Jesus," right? Jesus became our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Okay, so here we go. So what's the deal with all this? Well, the reason I want to talk about righteousness is because I believe that righteousness is one of the most misunderstood and, what's the word I'm looking for, the most avoided subjects in the church world today. You don't hear righteousness really taught too much in a lot of places. I'm not saying people don't touch on it and they don't say the word righteous, but I'm talking about teaching on it. Right? And so here's the deal. What we have done, myself included, I mean, we've taught on righteousness before, and sometimes as a pastor, I may get on something, but I forget that it's based on something else. So what we do is we love talking about faith. Why? Because faith is how we're going to get our healing. Faith is how we're going to get our needs met. Faith is how we do anything in the body of Christ, right? But here's the problem with that. When we spend all of our time teaching on faith without teaching on righteousness, your faith won't work. And the reason for that is because you cannot possibly believe God for something if you don't believe that you deserve it. So I'm all about faith. I mean, Dad Hagen, he said this. He says, "Go and teach my people faith." And when we graduated, that was the mandate. We're part of that mandate as Rhema students. We're part of the mandate. God spoke to me when I found out he passed away. The day he passed away, I began to cry and say, "Oh my gosh, Lord. Amazing man of faith. We need," he says, "he's been producing men and women like him over the years." And he says, "And you're one of them, and that same mandate that was upon him is upon you. Go and teach my people faith." Amen. So I'm all about faith. You guys here know I love, love, love teaching on faith. But it does me no good, and I've done it. I'm guilty of it, right? I put so much focus on walking by faith, but if you don't realize who you are in Christ, you don't realize you have a right to believe God for stuff. If you're still living with a sin consciousness, you cannot possibly believe God in faith for anything. So we're gonna take care of that. Now we're gonna be on this for a little bit, and we're gonna talk about it. All right. So 2 Corinthians, I've already read it, right? So for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God in Christ. Now, what is righteousness? That's kind of a big word. Let's break it down to its smallest form. Right. Made right. See, when you gave your life to Christ, and if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, oh my goodness, have I got good news for you. It's so simple. Right? But listen. But when we give our life to Christ, we say, "Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you." The greatest miracle that ever exists happens just like that. I mean, just like that. When you, it's a change that God comes in and he makes a change in your heart, right? And you no longer have to walk with that sin consciousness. But see, what the devil wants to do, if he can't get you into sin, see, that's his goal, is to get us to keep living in sin. But if we give our life to Christ and we realize, okay, I can't get them to continue to live in sin, if I can just, then the next thing he wants to do is make you live with a sin consciousness. Okay, I gave my life to Christ, but man, I can never do this. I can never get that. I don't know if I can believe God for that because I remember when I did this. I remember all my sin. If the biggest thing on your mind when you're in, when you're praying is all the bad things you've done, that's a sin consciousness. But what we want to do and what we're going to do is we're going to remove that sin consciousness and give you a righteous conscience. A righteous consciousness. Because until we can learn to walk and realize that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Man, I tell you what, the power over any sin is declaring yourself, I am the righteousness of God. I don't care if you just committed that sin. Man, there's all of us have these things. But man, there's things I had struggled with for years. And I'm like, God, why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep yielding to that? Why do I keep falling to that? And it's because I didn't have a righteousness conscience. When the blood of Jesus, when you receive Christ, the blood that shed from that cross, when he shed his blood, that blood cleansed you from all unrighteousness. All of it. So what are we talking about? We're talking about learning to live free of all those negative memories. Now that doesn't mean you're going to get amnesia and, oh my gosh, I can't even remember. No, but you choose to forget. You choose to say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care. You know, we've all got things in our life, right, that we're not proud of. I got things in my life. I wouldn't want somebody getting up here and announcing it from the pulpit. We've all got those kind of things. But if you did find out something that I did in my past, and you came up to me and said, well, you get up there, you talk about all this righteousness, but I remember what you did, I'm going to look at you and go, I'm innocent. No, you say that, but I remember. I can talk to people that can remind you of what you did. Doesn't matter, I'm innocent. I no longer live with the guilt and the shame of my mistakes. Even if you found out about it. Even if somebody told you about it. You come up to me, I'm not going to go, oh, I know I'm such a horrible person. I know. I'm going to look at you, I'm going to go, I'm innocent. You forget. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just up a few verses, up in verse 17, it says that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. A new creation. I'm new. You're looking at a new person. Hallelujah. All my sin, the one I may have committed last week, the one I may have committed even this morning, whatever. It's all gone because I am forgiven. Why? Because I am the righteousness of God. Let me ask you this question. When you give your life to Christ, and just because you make a mistake, does that make you a sinner? Okay. Some people would say, yes, well, if you sinned, then you're a sinner. No, watch this. So a person that has never given their life to Christ, they went out and did a good thing. They did a good thing, a righteous thing. They did something that was right. They helped a little old lady across the street, right? They carried somebody's groceries to their car for them. They whatever, walked somebody's dog for them because they wasn't feeling like walking it that day. Whatever, they did a good deed. Does that one good deed make them righteous? No. So then why is it that we think that just because I've given my life to Christ, but I went out and made a mistake, that one deed makes me a sinner? Right? It's not your deeds that make you righteous, and it's not your deeds that make you a sinner. It's the nature. And when you give your life to Christ, you say, God, I want you in my life. You just did the great exchange that we talked about last week. You gave up that sin nature and take on the nature and the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It is the very nature of God. It is the life and the nature of Almighty God. Hallelujah. So we're going to get this sin consciousness out of everybody. I want to get it to where, and we're going to get it to where you don't feel guilty. You don't feel shame because of your past mistakes. Because as long as the enemy that can keep you feeling guilty and feeling shame, oh my gosh. Now, that's one thing to tell, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, that's one thing. But allowing that guilt and that shame to keep you from being able to stand before a holy God and say, God, I'm righteous. Let me tell you something that may shock some of you. If you're a believer, you've asked Jesus to forgive you, you are just as righteous as Jesus is. I said it. You are just as righteous as Jesus, the Son of God, that's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. You're just as righteous. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. When he shed his blood, he cleansed you of all of it if you've chosen to receive what he did on the cross for you. Glory to God. Man, that is some good stuff. All right. All right, what's going on here? All right, let's get this thing out of here. All right. All right, now go with me. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. All right, Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Because, man, that when I was meditating and pondering these things this week, and the Lord was just showing me and helping me to see some things that how our faith has been hindered. You know, because we teach people, you know, just trust God. Just trust God. Faith is confidence. Faith is just making that decision to trust God. But if you're still battling with your old life, you're still battling with that old life, you know, then, and you don't feel like you deserve. Can I just say this? There is nothing about the kingdom of God that you as a believer don't deserve. Say that again. Now listen, I know that I'm going to be saying some things today and even in the weeks to come, and until you get the revelation of it, you're going to be looking at me like, man, where are you coming from? You know, so, you know, like what? It's good. Tilt, right? Because we're not used to hearing things like this. But you, if you've given your life to Christ, are just as righteous. In other words, you are just as right with God as Jesus. Why? Because there's no sin in my life. Think about the Apostle Paul, man. This is the guy who went out, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? But he's also the same guy that tracked down Christians, followers of Christ, and either put them in jail or killed him. Same guy. Same Apostle Paul. Except he wasn't Apostle Paul when he was killing people. Right? But you read like in Galatians and different places, and he talks about, like, he says, I have wronged no one. Now, how many know that we could say, whoa, 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 dude. I know you might like to think that. But I mean, like, you used to kill Christians just for the fact that they were, it wasn't like Christians who had committed a crime. I mean, you killed them because they followed Jesus. And you say you've wronged no man. The reason he can say that is because he finally came to the understanding and the revelation that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things. All things have become new. Become new. We'll talk about that at the end if I get there. All right. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, man. Because where God's trying to take his people is an amazing place. Right? Now, I'll show you that as we read through this. Watch this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. We read it last week, but let's read it again because I'm going to point some things out. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. Everybody say grace. Grace. And this gift of righteousness. Say righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to read that in the Amplified because I like it in the Amplified. You know why? Because it amplifies. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. All right? Now watch this. All right, let me get there. Okay. For if because of one man's trespass, his lapse or offense, death reigned through that one. And we talked about that last week. Remember that? You know, how Adam and Eve, they sinned. They did what God told them not to do. All of a sudden, they realized they're naked. Why? Because the glory of God had been removed. They were clothed in the glory. Then once they sinned, they did what God told them not to do and ate of the tree they weren't supposed to eat of. All their glory was gone. Now they realize they're naked. So they're running out trying to find fig leaves and sew some clothes together. And then they hear God walking in the cool of the day, which is something they did on a regular basis with God. But they heard him coming, so the Bible says they ran and hid themselves. And God says, Adam, where are you? He was not looking for information. He was trying to help Adam to see, wait a minute, you're not in the position with me. They used to walk with God. They didn't just follow God around the garden. Like your little puppy dog follows, like my dog likes to follow me when I take it out in the yard. Everywhere I go, Maisie's just like right there behind me. No, they didn't follow God around like, oh, there's God. You know, no, they walked with God, talking with God. I can imagine God was probably teaching them different things, teaching them more and more and more about whatever, right? So they were with God, right? And so now God's like, wait a minute, here I am walking in the cool of the day and they ain't with me. Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. He was not asking him for his navigational location. He wasn't saying, my GPS stopped working. I've lost track of you. Where did you go? He was saying, Adam, you're not in the position that you were yesterday. What did you do? Once again, not looking for information. He was trying to help Adam see that you've... And what happened is Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they dropped from the top of the ladder to the very bottom. We talked about that last week. Okay. So that's what this is talking about. For if because of one man's trespass, Adam's... A trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigned through the one. That's because when they sinned, sin ushered death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, everything that is not God into the earth. Right? Adam, up to that point, was the God of this world. Little g. But Adam was the God of this world. But then when he sinned, he transferred that position, that power and dominion, he transferred it over to Satan. So now Satan had the right to bring sickness and disease into the world because Satan became the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells you that. Everything evil he ushered in. None of this evil stuff is going on. None of it is God. I don't care who tells you that. It ain't in the book. Come on, we need to get back to what's in the book. What's in the Bible? Because what's in the Bible is truth. Well, some people say, well, you know, this progressive Christianity, you know, I mean, truth is whatever it is to me. No, it's not. I love you, but no, it's not. There is no such thing as a progressive Christianity. What are they calling progressive? Well, Christianity, I mean, the way you guys teach it, that's all old school, man. It's really, there's a new kind of Christianity today. Otherwise, I don't have to crucify my flesh. I don't really have to do things the way the Bible says to do it. That's old school. Christianity has progressed. Well, your Christianity may have progressed, but God's word is not. He says, Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, and this is where people are getting in dangerous territories with this progressive Christianity garbage, is because the Bible says if you are not to change one jot or tittle. And some of those are like, jot or tittle, what is that? Okay. Not one dot of an I or one cross of a T. In other words, God's point was, you don't change my message at all. We have to adjust the method, but you never change the message, right? And we're not going to do that. So this progressive Christianity stuff that's trying to go around and deceive people, I just come against it in the name of Jesus. All right, so let me look at this. Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So, when we receive the free gift of righteousness, it didn't say the free gift of salvation. It said the free, we know salvation is free. Well, it cost Jesus his life, but for us it's free, right? But he didn't say free gift of salvation. He said the free gift of righteousness. But why? Because salvation, that word salvation doesn't mean just saved from hell. It means deliverance and help in every area of your life. But if you don't realize that you are the righteousness of God, you'll never be able to walk in true salvation. You will never be able to walk in everything that God has for you and intends for you to walk in, because you're still caught up in, well, I just don't deserve it. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not an old sinner. I used to be. But that's the beautiful thing about the blood of Jesus, because when he shed his blood on that cross and I received the work he did at the cross, I received the sacrifice he made for me. It changed me from being an old sinner to now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am free from that old man. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And he says here, I love this, because he says, putting them in the right standing with himself, reign as kings in life. We need to get a revelation of our royalty. The Bible says that we are kings and priests in the earth. Why do you think Jesus is called the King, capital K, of kings, lowercase K, and the Lord, capital L, of lowercase L, lords? It didn't say Jesus was the king of all the kings in the earth. No, he's the king of kings. The Lord of lords. What does a king and a lord do? They rule. God didn't call us to come and cohabitate. He called us to come and take over. Not people. Spiritual garbage that influences the people. Right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal in the flesh, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and powers that are influencing people. Right? Hallelujah. How much time do I got? Oh, Jesus. Okay. So we've got to get to this place where we just say, wow, God. So when you sent Jesus to die on the cross, and when he shed his blood, it absolutely washed away all of my sin. It washed away all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 says that if any of us, we have an advocate with the Father. If any of us sin and we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just. What's another word for just? Righteous. In other words, when we sin and we confess it to the Father, he is faithful and just, or he is faithful to do the right thing by forgiving you and cleansing you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 says that unrighteousness is sin. And God wants you free from all sin. He don't want you walking around, all you're thinking about is the last sin you committed. All you think about is all the past mistakes you've ever made. This, guess what happens? You do know what you put your focus on. You know, you're driving down the road, cruising. Heather used to get on to me all the time. I'm cruising, but I'm looking. And when I keep my look, keep my eyes over there, where do you think that car is going? Can't get back in the road. You're out there driving with the cows. Come on, get back over in the road. Right? But what you put your attention on is where your life will go. Jerry Savelle said it this way: your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Your life will go. So if your life is always going into guilt and shame and you don't feel like you're worthy, you don't feel like you can do anything for God because of all your mistakes, those are telltale signs. If that's all you're ever talking about and that's all you're ever thinking about, that's a telltale sign that you are focused on a sin consciousness. But what if we realize today, we say, you know what, wait a minute. The Bible shows me that the blood of Jesus has washed away all of my sin. So now I'm not going to go around thinking about my past mistakes. I'm going to start thinking about, because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Another translation for that says, I am a new species altogether. Another translation says, I am a new race. God didn't send Jesus just to do some religious work. He sent Jesus to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to create a new race of people. A new race. In other words, before Jesus did that, there were never, ever, ever anybody like us on the earth. There had never, ever been a redeemed soul. Moses did not walk like we walk. Abraham, he didn't have what we have. Why? Because Jesus had not yet come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let me go one more verse and then we'll close. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Man, I didn't even get halfway through. I don't even know if I got a third way through. That's okay. Ephesians chapter 2. And we looked at this one last week, but I want us to look at it again. Ephesians chapter 2. I actually thought we would get to some new verses today, but that's okay. We're doing some plowing right now. Right? Come on, this is exciting stuff. This is exciting stuff, because a sin consciousness keeps you from being able to walk in everything God has for you. A sin consciousness will keep you from being able to attain anything by faith. And if you're finding out today that you do understand that I didn't put these scriptures in the Bible. This is not some great concept and idea that I came up with. No, the same things that have made me free is going to make you free. Right? Right, so we're gonna get rid of this sin consciousness, because man, that stuff it's holding you back. The devil is robbing you of everything God has for you, because if you have that, if you're living with a sin consciousness, and so that explains why. Anybody ever heard this verse, right? In Romans 3:23, we'll probably look at it next week more. But anybody ever heard this verse? For the wages of sin is death. Right. And a lot of people have heard that one. Why? Because I remember when I was a kid, and you've heard me tell the story about how I would, you know, man, I got saved like a gazillion times. Man, every time there was a church service, I went to the altar and gave my life to Christ again. even though it was done the first time, right? But here, why did I do that? Sin consciousness. Why did I do that? Why did I have a sin consciousness? Because preachers always love to preach on Romans 3:23. There is, and there's another verse that they love to preach on. There is none righteous, no, not one. They get right there and they're like, see, so none of you are righteous. I mean, preachers can have, most of their congregation can be believers, and they're teaching them that they're, none of them are righteous. You've all sinned. You all should be at the altar right now. Right? There's no power in that. Not for you as a believer. Right? What we need to hear is, hey, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. We're not ignoring the fact that we've all made mistakes. We're not ignoring it. We're just acknowledging that, wait a minute, the blood of Jesus, the pure, precious, crimson blood of Jesus, when it was shed, it washed away, not covered, washed away all sin consciousness. So all of my past mistakes are gone. Now I can, let me tell you one more thing righteousness is, and then I'll look at the scripture. Come on, tablet. Okay. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without guilt. I said righteousness is the ability to stand before God. When you come into prayer, you can stand before God without guilt, without shame, watch this, and without having any inferiority. In other words, righteousness empowers you to stand before God with the attitude is, I belong here. God ain't thinking nothing bad about me. So I can come to Him and say, Father, I thank You that I am the righteousness of God. Because when God looks at you as a believer, He is looking through the blood of Jesus. He's not looking at your sin. You know, some people have the idea that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that God's going to bring up all of our past mistakes and that's what we're going to be judged on. Not so. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be judged for one single sin. Not one. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
He's not bringing up not one single one. Now what will be brought up is, hey, listen, I asked you to do this. Did you do it? We're going to be judged on what He asked us to do and if we did it or not. Now, the people that have not received Christ, and if they should die without Christ, the day is going to come, they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, and they're going to have to give an account for every sin that they committed because they never repented of them. They never asked God to wash them away, even though it was right there for the taking. Hallelujah. So if I wasn't saved, you know what I would do?
I'd get saved.
Hallelujah. Because once you give your life to Christ, man, God washes away all of your sin. Amen. Let's read this verse and then I'll close. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, God saved you by His grace. And what you've got to understand about grace has nothing to do with your works. Has nothing to do with your ability. You know, anybody ever done this? You're like, you made a big mistake. God, or it's something you really want from God. God, if You'll just save me in this situation, I'll do this for You. What are you doing? You're not receiving grace. You're saying, God, if You'll do this for me, I'll do this for You. Come on. There is nothing you can do except receive Christ that can save your soul. That's what the grace of God is. Now watch this. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things. So you can't do a bunch of goody-goody stuff, can you? And earn anything for righteousness. Righteousness does not come by being goody-goody two-shoes. Right? It comes by the grace of God. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. None of us can boast about it. Hallelujah. We're saved by grace, by believing in the grace of God, not believing in, well, if I do enough good. See, no matter how many good things you do, you can't earn righteousness. And no matter how many bad things you've done, it cannot stop you from being righteous. Because righteousness comes because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. Now we can sit here and go, yeah, PK, Jesus is such a basic message. I know. I care to differ. Why am I bringing this? Because, number one, if you haven't accepted Christ, you need to know that all you've got to do is ask Him to forgive you and you are clean. All your past mistakes in reference to God, He'll never hold another one against you, ever. But I believe that there's a lot of people in a lot of churches, including this one, that we, if we're not careful, we allow a sin consciousness to creep in and make us feel like we don't deserve. We go to ask God for something, but we have this unworthy feeling, this guilt consciousness, that because we know we just had an argument with our wife 3 hours ago. Or we know that we made this mistake. Or we know that we did this. Or maybe we flipped somebody off. Or we cussed somebody. Or we did something. So when we come before God, that's what's right here. And God's trying to tell you today, no, don't come to me thinking that. I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace. How many know you can't come boldly if you're feeling guilty? You can't come in. We used an illustration last week about the landlord. If you're 3 months behind on your rent, it's hard to be confident to go up to. Usually when we're three months behind on our rent, you know, we're trying to avoid the landlord. Because we know we ain't got the money to make it right. But when you know you're paid up, then you have all the confidence to say, hey, how's things going? Family good? Awesome. Hey, I got this leaky faucet. And I was wondering when you could get up. I got some company coming over later this week. I was wondering if you might have a chance. Why? If you're old, if you're not right with Him, you're not going to have the confidence to ask Him to do anything. Right? But the blood of Jesus has made you right. So because of the precious blood of Christ making you right, come on, believers, I'm talking to you. Because we have already been made right, we can step into the throne room of God. We can go right into prayer and say, Father, I thank You for making me righteous. And I thank You, Lord. And you just worship Him a little bit. Say, Lord, I got these. There's some things I want fixed in my life. I need Your help with this job. Or I need Your help to find a job. Or I need Your help with my spouse. I need Your help with my kids. I need Your help from. I need You to help me to do things right. And you can do that because you're like, I'm righteous. He's not going to come up and say, well, I would, but you know, you're not quite right with me with this. No, you are righteous. He's already made you righteous. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God completely without shame, completely without guilt of any kind, and completely without feeling inferior. In having any kind of inferiority or feeling inferior before God. That's why He says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need.